Olsun.
I don't know if Mr. Thomas will be joining us tonight or not, but it was announced at the Spring Garden meeting that I guess his resignation isn't effective until November.
Okay.
So I did encourage the alternate from Spring Garden to plan on involvement with us until they name a successor.
Which, who is the alternate?
It's Thomas Gwilt.
Don't think I know him.
He's new to the board. I'm not sure what I don't even remember which ward he's from.
And Mike's ward was the ward over kind of between, it's a, up the hill from Penn State York.
Is that Ward 5?
I don't know.
I can't keep the line straight over there as far as
And they aren't numbered in any kind of fashion. It's
right.
random.
Hello, Austin. How are you?
Pretty good, Charles.
Sorry, I didn't answer
So,
immediately. I couldn't find where the mute button was, and I knew I was muted.
oh, don't sweat it. So I lied to you a little bit. When I saw you this weekend, I said we had 60 some pages to read.
It's only 104.
I was 100. Although some of them were left intentionally blank, so he chief padded a little
That's an old college trick, you
bit. Yeah,
know.
double space.
I cannot say that I read through it word for word, but I do have some questions.
Okay.
Charles or Dan, what type of presentation would we like to make to the pension board next month on your recommendations for a change in policy? Should the subcommittee lead that? Should we let Fulton lead that, or how would you like to handle that, Charles?
Well, that's a good question. I thought that I would initiate it kind of with the same presentation. In fact, I finally was able to convert the PowerPoint to a PDF, which sounds easy, but actually there was a challenge with the PowerPoint. I was thinking I'd lead with the PowerPoint presentation, which would be in a deck format that everyone would have.
Okay.
And then, Elizabeth and I are also having an exchange of emails trying to get a perfect red line copy of the investment policy so we could all see the actual changes. So once I do that, then we'll have that as an attachment. But then I would certainly make Fulton available. They are aware of the need to be here at the pension board, obviously for the regular reasons, but they'd also be able to participate and weigh in on any conversation or discussion. That's how I envisioned it.
Okay, so Chief, if you could just have that on the pension board agenda to make that presentation, and then I don't know, is that under new business? And then kind of leave it open for call for action.
Yeah, that's no problem. Mr. Wooster sent that over already to Lisa and I. So that'll be included in the packet, no problem.
Steve, I think
And
you
Dan,
missed it. Steve, you missed the very beginning of that. I asked Charles how he would like to proceed presenting the potential changes to the investment policy at next month's meeting. What legislative actions would be required?
Clearly, the pension committee would need to approve it. I need to figure out whether that's probably it's a resolution with an attachment that has identified the new policy.
Okay.
Yeah, let me check on that.
And would that have to be ratified by all the members of the pension or just the board?
My gut reaction is you've delegated the authority to do decisions like that with the investment, with the pension committee, but I'll just verify that.
So that will be what we're contemplating is that'll be on next month's quarterly pension board meeting. So if you could do a little homework on the legislative steps that you recommend.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting, Steve. The investment policy does not, as I recall, well, maybe I better look for sure, but I don't think it has a mechanism to amend it or anything of this sort.
No, it probably doesn't. It just needs to be readopted or adopted anew.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't want to lose my Yoffer handbook. Oh, my. How did
you
I
didn't
just
print it out?
No, I'm staying PDF.
Okay.
Staying PDF. Now, where's the rest of my
7 o'clock. We have 1, 2, 3. Looks like if Dan is online, we have a quorum and we can proceed.
Okay.
I'm assuming that Dan is Dan Rooney. Doesn't look like he's quite on yet. Good evening, George. I saw you come on. I got talking before I greeted you properly.
Hello.
Mr. Rooney, are you connected?
Sounds like Entertainment Tonight.
Yeah, right.
And it is both sad and disturbing at the same time.
Are you in, Mr. Rooney?
And your black face mask is hanging from his neck. This lady's mugshot, the disgraced comedian, was taken in September. It's released today. So, why the new photo? A person reptiles ET that inmates get new mugshots every once in a while as
they're. Is 4 a quorum? Can we
press? Yes.
Gene, if you're ready to go, I'm going to call this meeting to order. The October meeting of the York Area Fire and Rescue Commission. Because of our virtual nature, I'm going to dispense with the Pledge of the Allegiance. Although I'm honored to be an American. There were no executive sessions since our last meeting, and as far as I know, they're not scheduled tonight. Is that correct?
No, sir.
Communications from citizens. Any of our citizens want to speak to anything that's not otherwise on the agenda?
Hey, Mr. Chairman, not as a citizen, but is there a way we could isolate the noise coming in from the other party? There may be a way in Zoom to restrict that feed.
I just muted one of the attendees and that seemed to solve the problem.
Okay. And by all means, we can certainly open it up if they need to speak. So thank you.
You're quelling the rabble, Charles. We just asked for communications from citizens. Management reports. Mr. Havas.
I'm happy to report that we have nothing to add. I know the chief is going to be presenting a proposal tonight for the actual purchase of certain equipment. And I'll give Dave Jones a lot of credit for working with chief on that. So whenever that's appropriate.
Dave Jones says giving him credit is always appropriate. Chief Huff. As I said earlier, I do want to compliment you on all the homework you gave us this week or this month. It was a lot of reading, but I do commend you on putting that all together. I know you have a wonderful staff that does all the legwork for you, but that was a lot of work actually by Sarah Doyle, Steve, and a lot of work, I guess, by one of your battalion chiefs to put the RFP together.
Yeah, Battalion Chief Wolfgang worked on that. Other than what's already on the agenda under new business, I don't have anything additional to add unless there are questions.
Chief, I have a question for you.
Sure.
I just saw the other day, I think it was in Central Penn Business Journal, that the governor's releasing $50 million in grant monies to fire and EMS services. Were you aware of that? Is that something that we might be able to take advantage of?
I believe what you're referring to is the second offering from the Office of the State Fire Commissioner Grant Program. Okay. And I did include that in my report. I don't remember the exact number, but what the website is showing is an award of about $22,000 for us. So that was something we had already applied for and received.
Okay, thanks.
Sure.
Lisa Einzig, something has changed on my computer. I was able to flip through the live versions, and now it says I can't show them. They can't preview me. Is that because other people are online, or maybe Lori?
What are you referring to?
Before the Zoom meeting, I had all the Open Drive stuff, and I could flip back and forth. But now, since the meeting started, now it's saying, looks like the file doesn't have a preview that we can show you.
That must be something locally on your computer.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm now, I don't have any of my support materials. Okay. Any other questions for the chief? Hearing none, the payables for the evening or for the month. Any comments or questions on those? Hearing none, I will entertain a motion to approve the payables as noted or as listed.
So moved. This is George.
This second. Is Lisa. Second.
Gene, if you could have a roll call vote, please.
Hey, Chairman Hunt?
Yes.
Mr. Worcester?
Aye.
Mr. Rooney?
Aye.
Mr. Dvorak?
Yes.
And Ms. Wingert?
Aye.
Thank you. Motion carried.
We have no bids, proposals, or contracts to act on this month. Communications from commissioners. Anything from this side of the lectern to talk about? Okay.
Oh, I would like to say something. I'm just very happy that all three municipalities, their boards were able to agree upon the extra monies so that we could provide that to Yoffer so that they got that grant. The grant for the mask and all that stuff. That was the opportunity that we could not let just dwindle away. So thank you and everybody.
And to expand on that, I do think we have a bunch of very smart, very open-minded boards at the three townships, and the people that represent them here are also very smart and recognize that opportunity. So I take that compliment and make sure that I share it or redirect it to the people at the municipal boards. Volunteer committee, Chief, is that something you want to talk about?
Well, really nothing to report. Right now we're planning on having our next meeting next month in November, and hopefully we have something to report. Well, that meeting will be after the November Yoffer meeting, so it would be a December report that we would have for you based on that. But other than that, nothing really to report regarding volunteerism, except tomorrow we plan on transitioning to the redone website, making that live, or at least getting asking Affinigen to flip the switch and make that go live. And when we do, that's also going to kickstart some of our volunteer recruitment efforts with signage through three townships. We haven't put the signs out yet because the website on the sign hasn't been live yet, which it will be with the new website. So that those two items kind of go hand in hand.
And by that, you mean the, do you have a yoffer.com/something URL?
Yeah, we have a volunteer link on the sign for people to go to for information and an application.
Fantastic. Pension subcommittee, Charles, we did a little prep before the meeting.
Yes.
But just to confirm for the record, it is our intention, I believe it is your intention, to present your recommendations at next month's quarterly pension meeting.
That is correct.
And Attorney Havas is going to do a little homework on legislatively what we, if we choose to proceed, what needs to be done. So,
yeah. And I would envision too that with the conclusion of the pension board and presuming an affirmative ratification of the loan or the investment policy changes, that we would not need to have this as a item under the committee reports unless this is now a standing committee.
I understand. No, I would say that by making your recommendations, you have fulfilled the mission of the committee and it can be dissolved.
Okay, so therefore it would not necessarily be on the agenda then come November here for the regular commission, certainly for the pension board. And would envision to have, see the same PowerPoint, you'll have it in a PDF format, have the entire deck along with a redline copy of the investment policy changes as prepared by Fulton Financial Advisors. And they, of course, will be there as part of the normal pension board meeting and also to answer any questions that anyone may have.
Extraordinary. Thank you. Next item is actually approval of the minutes. You have two versions of minutes in your packet this evening, one from the joint township budget presentation, and then a second set of minutes from the traditional monthly commission meeting. Any questions, comments, additions to those?
I'll move to approve the minutes from the two September 15th meetings as listed on the agenda.
I'll second that. Mr. Rooney.
And Gene, I believe that was George intended for one motion for both minutes.
Correct. That's what I've received. Okay. All right. Are you ready for the question?
Yes, please.
Mr. Hunt?
Yes.
Mr. Worcester?
Aye.
Mr. Rooney?
Aye.
Mr. Dvorak?
Aye.
And Ms. Wingard?
Aye.
Okay, motion carried.
Under old business, Dan, Mr. Rooney, did you want to talk about the any of the emails you circulated this afternoon, or is that?
I don't know. I think we have enough. I think I have enough. If Chief Hoff gave kind of the basic requirements to work with. I want to develop a conceptual.
Dan, if you just want to tell everybody what we're talking about. I didn't know if you wanted to talk about that.
Given the site that we're looking at and the configuration of the site out for, as a replacement site for Grantley, we just want to do a conceptual. The seller wants to have us show that the site is not fully usable and it's because it has an unusual shape. So we want to show that we can fit what we need on the site and then see what's left before the full offer or any offer was accepted. So that's the next step. I've talked to our engineer and we're going to work up a simpler concept sketch to see if we can fit what Chief Hoff's gave me the specifications for.
So just to fill in a little bit more of the details for people that haven't been in on the conversation, we're looking at, or Spring Garden is looking at the possibility of acquiring a piece of land at the corner of Indian Rock Dam Road and Richland Avenue. It's a goofy triangular shape. Will have to be subdivided off a larger triangle. But if we, because of the triangular shape, we're going to have to put, and the setbacks and everything, there will be an unusable portion of the up at the point of the triangle, where because of setbacks, it's unbuildable. And so what Dan is trying to do is get a plot sketch of where to put the buildings and the roadways to make sure it all fit and potentially identify unbuildable and to potentially reduce the price of the lot. Is that a good summarization, Dan?
Yeah, because we're thinking the full 5 acres isn't utilizable. So we just have to figure out what percent's not, you know, we have to, I guess, agree with the seller on what acreage is not so we can have the price reflect that value. So that's correct.
So for the rest of the board, Dan is doing a lot of legwork on this, and it's a very positive that we're finally moving forward. I'm very excited. Nothing tangible yet, but forward progress always makes me happy. I brought that up under old business. Under new business, you all got a draft copy of the administrative employee handbook. And I'm sure this is a compilation. Help me, Dan. This was the its predecessor was a straight copy of the Springetsbury handbook that
Correct.
Was kind of, it was better than nothing, but this is more appropriate specifically to us.
Correct. To give a little bit more background, prior to this year, we had always followed the previous Springetsbury employee handbook. We had that recognized by the collective bargaining group that we followed, as particularly under as it relates to discipline, that we followed the Springetsbury disciplinary policy that was outlined in their employee handbook. We've been our own entity for long enough that we felt it was time that we had our own set of guidelines. When we started down this path, communicating with Solicitor Havas and Sarah Doyle, we kind of felt that for the unionized employees, the majority of what we wanted to accomplish was already existing in department policy as it related to things or in contract as it related to leave and things of that nature. There's only one part that's missing in the discipline in our policies currently, and that is a disciplinary policy, which has to be negotiated. It can't be implemented unilaterally. So we've already started the review of that with the employees' representatives, and we'll get that in policy as well. But we wanted, so based on those early conversations, why we decided to make this simply the administrative employee handbook, because all the exempt employees are all their employee handbook essentially is the policy manual that's in existence.
You use the word exempt.
I might have said that backwards. The unionized employees. So that's the direction we came from. We started working on this back in March, actually, with Sarah. Lisa and I spent a whole lot of time with Sarah on Zoom, and I think once or twice in person even, to get this to the point where we could put it before you for adoption.
So as I understand it, Chief, this covers all employees unless it is trumped by policies in the collective bargaining agreement.
I would say that this covers all employees not covered by a collective bargaining agreement. And I see Steve said yes.
So something like just use of tobacco. That's addressed
in the policy manual as well. So
okay.
There's a lot of carryover between the two. On issues like that, and issues like uniforms and things of that nature. But there are some things that aren't addressed in policy, or I should say that aren't addressed in the same manner in the employee handbook that they are in policy for the union guys. And just an example is how they go about requesting leave, personal leave and that sort of thing.
Does anybody have any questions or comments for the chief on the project?
So conceptually then, do I understand, Chief, that when we look to the various tables here, length of continuous service, for example, on page 15 of the document, it says after 1 year of continuous service, you get 2 weeks vacation leave, et cetera. As I go through the policy and see these various tables, all of this is existing policy. We're not creating anything new here relative to some of these policies. Is that
no, correct? That is correct. It's everything in here really is nothing new. It's just putting it in writing to make sure it's spelled out for any new promotions or any new hires on the administrative side.
Okay. And then couple of specific areas of question and comment. I did notice that we do have the Pennsylvania whistleblower law. It's on document page 10. I think that also is PDF 10. And I read through this. I just want to make sure, is there a sufficient mechanism here that if somebody has an issue that they can go to an HR director? Or is it just all coming right to you, to the fire chief?
No, it would go to Lisa as the HR person. There's no requirement that they have to go directly to me, or they can go directly to Lisa if there's an issue.
Okay, because it says that a violation of this policy, whistleblower should be reporting employee's immediate supervisor in writing signed by the employee. Is not practical, that action would be does not correct yeah. The perceived violation. It should be made by the employee to the fire chief, specific to the employee.
That might have been one spot where we missed the fire chief or the administrative director. They do have an option there.
Yeah, you may want to take another look at that.
Yeah, that's a typo. That I think is just simply a typo.
Yeah, and And I would see no reason why we would need to do this, but you know, there ought to be a mechanism that if, not Dan specifically, but if there's a concern about the chief, that an employee has recourse to someone other than the chief.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely. So. Yeah, we'll get that corrected.
And then one of the things, and we did a rework of the Springsbury manual last year too, which I got to have an opportunity. One of the things that, and I wanted to see how this aligns with the offer culture, is there is certainly a section here on training and all the mechanisms by which one would get reimbursed by training and then the requirement for a follow-up. To what extent do we encourage lifelong learning or continue on the job training, particularly in these sort of areas here at Yoffer?
In a nutshell, from a training standpoint, there's daily requirements for training of our personnel. No less than 2 drills a day. Offer
include the civilian employees in that statement. Are the civilian employees encouraged?
Absolutely.
Do they have the same? Do the battalion chiefs in charge of training also think about the civilians for training?
No, the battalion chiefs don't. That's something that I address and encourage one-on-one with Lisa and Lori. And quite honestly, the reason that the battalion chiefs aren't involved in that is because that's kind of out of their wheelhouse. As far as what training Lisa might benefit from as far as HR or finance, and Lori with the tasks that she's performing. So it is encouraged. We do have those discussions regularly. This was a bad year to try to get anything accomplished with everything being canceled and rescheduled and so on and so forth. But that is something that we keep on the front burner with all of our people. We also address training from the firefighter and the officer standpoint. There's the required training that we have every year, the required training that we have daily, as well as opportunities for elective training that are specific to job responsibilities. We have a number of people that we send out on an annual basis for emergency vehicle technician certification training and retraining to help work on the apparatus so that we can minimize our downtime with the apparatus and also minimize the out of pocket cost to third party vendors. We take advantage of memberships with the or subscriptions with York County Fire School for any classes that are offered there. And we take advantage of the opportunity to go to the National Fire Academy. We highly encourage that of our people for career development. National Fire Academy basically is free to any American fire department. Room and board, or I should say rooms free on campus for 1 or 2 week courses or weekend courses. About the only expense there is a meal ticket to eat on campus. So we're always looking for ways to increase the training that's made available to our folks.
So Chief, I thank you for that. It sounds like there is certainly a culture to facilitate training. When I just read, I guess it's page 61, the training and conference attendance policy. I'm wondering, you know, if it would be good to, you know, kind of like embed that in writing, some of that culture. As I looked at the top paragraph, it talks about policies, procedures. I think maybe, you know, if you think it wise, or if the commission thinks it's wise, maybe to add there that we do encourage employees to seek out training as it's offered, and it's in, you know, it's a critical element for anyone's career development with the force or with the offer.
I was trying to match up. I think there's a typo in referencing it, the page 23 that talks about training, that then references in the section H, references Appendix D, but Appendix D below is the privacy or security policy. I think that should be Appendix F, if I'm following.
That would be correct. Appendix F is the training and conference attendance policy.
I will make that correction as well.
So is that the only two mistakes that you left in there for us to find?
You caught me.
Or should we keep looking?
I'd appreciate it if you didn't. We will scour that to make sure we don't pick up anything else before we make a final copy that if we can get approval, that I'll bring to Mr. Hunt to sign.
So legislatively, you are looking for the board to vote on approving this with those minor changes, or do we just acknowledge receipt?
I think the board really does need to approve it, so a motion to approve it would be appropriate.
Okay.
Before we do that, Chief, I have a question, and I apologize if you've already answered this and I missed it, but has legal counsel reviewed this document?
Yes, we worked the whole way through this process with Steve and Sarah.
Okay.
Sarah Doyle is the employment practices expert at Stock and Leader.
Okay, thanks.
Sure. She knows everything that Steve doesn't.
Steve, were there any thorny issues that you think still haven't been resolved by this policy rewrite?
I have to say, I was involved sort of at the beginning going through those thorny issues. I think we sort of worked through them, and therefore the chief and his staff have been working with Sarah in basically putting everything together and making sure it's pretty tight. So, you know, I'm not aware of any issues that are sort of outstanding or questionable at this point in time. I think they've put a lot of work into making sure that this is a pretty good policy.
I think the biggest conversation we had was to make sure this was regularly reviewed to make sure it remains a current document, that it just doesn't get signed off on and then shelved.
How frequently do you propose to review it, Chief?
I think I'm going to defer to our counsel on that as to what would be an acceptable. I don't know that annually is required, but I'll let Steve answer that.
Yeah, no, it's a good question. I think, Chief, I think at least sitting down with Sarah and your staff that oversees this on an annual basis, and just to go through sort of, is this what you still intend to do, as well as just to make sure that any changes in the law are reflected in the policy going forward. Yeah.
And for this document, I'm looking at page 33, the signature page. You're intending to distribute this to all current employees?
That is the case, yep.
Yes.
And obviously new employees will get it in their introductory package.
Yep.
Yeah.
Forgive me, maybe I did not connect the dots. I did see in the section that were due to inclement weather, certain administrative staff could work from home. Do we reference in here the ability to work from home in a pandemic situation? Is there any discussion to the pandemic? I may have missed it.
No, we don't address that. Which is kind of funny considering we did this during the pandemic.
Yeah. I sort of view that as the ability of the chief to identify specific working conditions. But if you want us to try to address something within that, sort of like, I guess, management right to actually modify schedules to provide remote working. But it's a good observation.
I'm not so sure that we need it, but I throw it out there for the commission. Yeah.
It's funny, a year ago, we would have never thought about that, you know?
Right.
Well, by being silent on it, we're neither excluding the possibility or limiting the possibility.
Yeah. Let me raise that with Sarah and get her sort of observation about that. We'll circle back with the chief.
Yeah, there only may be new HR language developing in the legal community as a result of the pandemic. I don't know that at your traditions bank we've made any changes to that effect, but clearly we've changed policies. Let me back up. We haven't necessarily changed the employee handbook in the response to the pandemic, but we obviously have different work rules because of the pandemic. So,
yeah, it's sort of interesting. We've counseled all of our clients when dealing with pandemic and COVID issues to sort of take a very liberal view of their policies. And therefore, you're right, Charles, even though it's not written in the policies, I think many employers have sort of taken this liberal approach during the pandemic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So hearing, we made some suggestions that might need to be fleshed out. Is the board's wish to look at another draft, or would we like to proceed with adopting it as is with the changes, pending changes as noted? So do we want to vote on it now or table it till next month? Thoughts, anyone?
I would ask the chief if there's not a problem in deferring it till next month, I would probably personally prefer to wait till we have the final draft.
That's fine. That gives us a chance to make any addition Steve and Sarah might make to us. That's no problem at all.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you, George. Next item on the agenda is approval of the RFP for the SCBA. And accessories. How about that for acronyms?
This approval is basically aimed at just satisfying the grant process. We have to accept quotes from more than one vendor, and by getting the commission's approval on this document, it tells the reviewer of our grant award that the commission was actively involved in the purchase and that this wasn't just some document that we picked up and threw together. It's probably more regulatory as far as following the guidelines of the grant process than anything else. Battalion Chief Wolfgang put this together, provided it to me. We forwarded it to Solicitor Havas. He already said that, you know, Attorney Jones worked on this with me, and this is the final product here. So,
and your cutoff for proposals is Friday, November 6th.
Correct.
Is that enough time for people to react to it?
It is. Actually, we had people in the office yesterday asking for this document already before it was even approved. You need to understand that really we're only talking about three competitors for this purchase. There's not a whole lot of self-contained breathing apparatus manufacturers out there. So, although we might entertain bids from two vendors that represent the same manufacturer, we don't anticipate a lot of proposals coming in. When we did our trial, we had three different vendors, each one representing one of the manufacturers. I would guess that we wouldn't really receive anything more than quotes from those three manufacturers, and two of them, MSA and Dräger, are territorial, which means we're going to get one quote from whoever has this area in their sales territory. Scott Manufacturing, however, doesn't do territory. So theoretically, we could get a quote from somebody even out of the state of Pennsylvania that sells Scott Air Packs. But since we've dealt with these guys on the equipment trial, they know this is coming. It's not going to be a surprise where they see it tomorrow and all of a sudden they've got to scramble to get everything done in the next 3 weeks.
And I'm, as a layman, I see a lot of technical terms, very specific technical terms in here. That is not specifically targeting one manufacturer. Those specifications are broad enough to get a true competitive bid?
Yes. Yes. What's listed here is features that every one of the manufacturers has the ability to provide.
Very good. Any other questions or comments for the chief on this proposal? Hearing none, I will entertain a motion to accept this and release it for distribution and action by the public.
Mr. Chairman, I move for approval of a request for proposal for self-contained breathing apparatus and accessories dated October 20, 2020, as presented.
I'll second that. This is Lisa Wingert.
Very nice. Gene, if you could do a roll call vote, please.
I will. Chairman Hunt?
Yes.
Mr. Worcester?
Aye.
Mr. Rooney?
Aye.
Mr. Dvorak?
Aye.
And Ms. Wingert?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Fantastic. We're to the bottom of the agenda. Anything else anybody would like to cover?
I would like to just say that in a couple weeks, we're looking forward to Mrs. Winger at least joining us for our November 4th fire school experience.
And Mr. Hunt.
And Mr. Hunt. And we would love if the rest of you could, if not participating, could still come and observe.
So what time is that, Chief?
We'll be starting our evening session at 6 p.m.
And Lisa, did you have a wish list of what you want to do? Do you want to climb a tall ladder? You want to cut up cars? Or what do you want to do?
I thought we were going to do the car.
Yep. Okay. Yep, we're going to cut some cars.
Okay, sounds good to me.
All right.
Hey, Chief, I do apologize. The only thing I didn't get to do, I totally forgot, is to look at your website. I promise I'll do that this evening. And if I have any feedback, I'll give it to you.
That would be great.
Totally forgot about that.
That would be awesome. And
you also should have all gotten the newsletter, the quarterly newsletter in your inbox. That was fascinating. I'm always, as a layman, I love reading about fire stuff. So please thumb through that. All right. Lisa, I will see you on the 4th, and I hope to see some more of you on the 4th. But otherwise, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you all for attending.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.